If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up with me to the book of Job, chapter 38. And no, I'm not going to tell you the story of Job, but the book of Job, chapter 38, Old Testament. Last week, I spoke to you about "It's in the details," was the message, and it was regarding us in being able to understand that God is a God of details concerning the power of prayer, and that He loves both you and I enough to show you something in the details, to give you a sign, to give you a message of His great love for you, because He is a God of tiny details that goes on in your life and in my life. And it's important for us to understand that God knows and that He's interested in the details, even when we don't know the details about someone else we may be praying for, which I know frustrates us many times. But sometimes we just don't know the details. Somebody may come up and say, "Would you pray for me? I have an unspoken prayer request." And so immediately what goes on your mind is, I wonder what it is. If the God of details knows that. And that's why Pastor Adam and I made a strong plea. Pastor Jan made a strong plea to encourage all of you to attend our quarterly night of prayer. Quarterly. We don't do it every Sunday night. We do it once a quarter. And we ask you to come at 5 p.m. to pray for things maybe that you don't understand what's going on in your life about. Maybe to pray about things that you may not know all the details in. Or maybe to pray for someone that you know that you've just been meaning to take time to pray for them, but your busy schedule has just allowed things just to skip your mind. Maybe someone in your family, maybe someone in our church family who may be hurting or going through something. Pray for Miss Thelma. She's in the hospital right now. Pray for healing upon her body. Or maybe even, like I said before, to pray and anoint you as a church. Well, today I'd like to continue in that same thought of last week about how we can have our prayers are detailed. But today I'd like to talk to you about how our prayers are memorials before God. And in doing so, also a reminder that God inhabits the praise of His people. Amen? So declare with me out loud Psalms 150, verse 6. "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. Lord, we gather this morning in Your sanctuary of Your safety, and we thank You for the fellowship and the families that have gathered here today. And we ask that You would strengthen us. We ask that You would restore us. We ask that You would inspire us with Your amazing love that You have for us. And we ask You, Father, to please fill our lives with Your peace, so that as we journey onwards, we will be able to pour out Your love and Your grace to others before us. And so we ask today, Father, that our souls would catch the wind of Your Holy Spirit, and that we would see and believe in Your promises. We ask that You let it rain. We ask that it is well within our soul this morning, Father. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, let's take a look at Job chapter 38, verse 22. This is an insight of Scripture that I hope would stick with you and maybe get in your spirit. And as hot as last week has been, I almost wish that there would be a snowstorm this week to kind of back this verse up. In verse 22 of Job chapter 38, it reads, "Have you entered the storehouses of snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail? Which I," this is God speaking, He's speaking to Job, "which I have reserved." Everybody say reserved. That means there are storehouses of snow that is stored up or reserved. For what? For the time of distress, for the time of troubles, for the day of war and battle. I want to speak to you this morning about monuments of prayer. Preaching today on "Have you entered the storehouse of snow?" I'll explain that in a moment, but first I want to take a look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. You can see it on the screen. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," a very familiar verse, "nor my ways are your ways, declares the Lord." And then verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." And then verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater." God is saying that's his promise. It's like the rain and like the snow from heaven. And that's really something. And that's something we can be very thankful for. And then he goes on to say in verse 11 of Isaiah 55, "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." That's what God promises both you and I. It cannot fail, and it will not return void. For he says it's going to accomplish what he desires, to prosper in the matter whatever he chooses and where he chooses to send it. And then one more quick verse in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. It says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you and I may know that it is I, the Lord God of Israel, who calls you by your name." So hidden riches, secret treasures, the treasures of darkness, meaning that there are things that are in the Bible, that are in the Word of God, that you and I can't see. It's a mystery. It's hidden. But God says that he will give both you and I revelation to it. And if you've ever read the Bible, you totally understand what this verse means. Because you can read the Bible, then all of a sudden you happen across a nugget, and it just enlightens you. Because as the snow falls and as the rain pours, his word comes down out of the heavens. And he says to us in his word, he says, "Have you entered the treasures of the secret place? Have you entered the treasures that I have for you there?" The treasury of snow. What strange wording that is. Have you entered the storehouses of snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I have reserved for the time of distress, for the time of war and battle? Well, he's talking about is that snow is a metaphor of spiritual snow, which something comes down once you send it up in your prayers. There is the snow, there's the treasury of snow, which is prayer and praise and the worship that we do today as a church. We're snowmakers, I guess you could say. We store it up for a time of trial as a church, prayer of faith. As Jan mentioned, by the way, our name is Prayer of Faith. And we pray for it, and we take the word of God that will not return void, and we study it, and we spend extra time in it, and we read it. At least I hope you do. And in doing so, you and I are filling up the treasury of snow, just like on a tall mountain peak, just like how snow accumulates on a mountain. Because you can be down here where it's very dry, but then off in a distance you can see those mountain peaks, and it has snow on those mountain peaks. And snow falls down on the mountain peak, and it's there during the winter, but then there will come a season of change. A change of season will come. The season will change when the sun begins shining down and it starts warming up, and something happens because there's a treasury of snow that's stacked up on that mountaintop. And it's amazing how you and I can store up prayer just like snow stores up on those mountaintop peaks. And when the snow, when the season changes, the snow begins to melt, turns into water, and the streams begin to flow, and the river is filled, and the snow on the mountain, and the more the snow, the more the flow. For if you don't have any snow stored up in the treasury of snow, then there's not going to be a lot of flow in the time of trouble. Do you hear what the Word said? In the time of trouble, you and I are storing up stuff. In the day of battle, you're storing prayers up so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, then you and I have something stored up waiting on him. And God says that I will have my people prepared for whatever comes their way. And there's this connection of prayers, just as snow collects. If you think about it, a snowflake has 6 points. And then when water freezes, there's an arrangement of hydrogen bonds and the molecule, scientific stuff like that. It takes on a hexagonal shape, which has 6 sides. And the snowflake, it's just like the Star of David. Similarity. And I'm not making this up. You can check it out. And if you look under a snowflake under a microscope, that's what you'll see. And so the snow collects because it connects very easily with other snowflakes, so that it's not just one snowflake by itself. One snowflake you really don't have to worry about. So whenever we hear on TV in the wintertime when the weatherman says there's going to be snow flurries, it's like, not a problem. But if enough of them get together, if just one tiny snowflake start bonding with another snowflake and start collecting and gathering and piling up, guess what? All that snow, it can mess up a big old diesel Mack truck. It can put it in the ditch. All of that snow, as it piles up, it can actually stop a Mack truck. Amazing. And that's like prayer. You know, sometimes we get so tired of praying for the same thing. Sometimes it's months that you pray for the same thing and nothing happens. It's over and over and over. You constantly pray and you almost feel kind of guilty for sounding redundant to God over praying the same thing. But what you're doing, and you have to be able to see it with your spiritual eyes, is that you're filling up the treasury of snow that's in God's Word every time that you pray. Praising the Lord. Asking for a blessing. Calling out your children's name. Calling out your grandchildren's name. What you're doing is you're storing up snow to where here's one snowflake, there's another snowflake, and then over there there's another snowflake, and then over here there's another, and another, and another, and it adds up. And sometimes, if you have a mother or a grandmother who has been praying for 30 years, 40 years, maybe even 50 years, your snowflakes get mixed in with their snowflakes, and then when you get the whole family praying, everybody is starting to get this glacier effect going on top of the mountain. And it adds up monumentally. But it feels like nothing's happening down here in the winter when everything's barren and everything's cold and everything looks gray and you don't feel anything. You don't see anything. And it just seems like nothing is happening. And you're so disappointed that nothing's happening. Not one thing. Pretty soon you begin to think of that your prayers have just dissipated into thin air. Or sometimes maybe not get past the ceiling. And if you're fasting, that's another thing. You feel that all you've done is you're fasting. And the only thing is from result from that is you hear your stomach growling. It doesn't seem like God has changed one single thing. But just know that you've been storing up prayer. and you're creating monuments of prayer. And if you don't have a collection of it, listen to this, of yet to be answered prayers in the treasury of snow, then there will never come a river flowing your way. Instead, what happens, nature itself teaches us this, what happens is it'll find another tributary. It'll go into someone else's place. So if one doesn't have anything stored up in the treasury of snow, then don't expect to flow. The more the snow, the more the flow. Because it's a collective gathering that creates these glaciers in heaven. Every prayer that we pray is like snow. I mean, think about where the rivers of God come from. It's the snow of God's people who have been praying and still praying. That's where it begins. I mean, think about it. Jesus wouldn't have told us to pray if it didn't work. And Jesus wouldn't have told us to give if it didn't work. He just would have said, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah. Whatever be, will be. Because it doesn't really matter if you pray or not about your situation. God's going to do what He wants to do anyway. But if you start praying for your father, if you ever start praying for your mother, if you ever start praying for your son, you start praying for your daughter, you ever start praying for your family, and you keep on doing it, and sometimes it's stored up for generations. Even sometimes, some of those people may pass on. They may pass on to heaven. Because realize, many times what happens is when this happens, we become sad and mournful when someone we prayed for is no longer here. But God sometimes will answer His prayer in heaven. Because all that we know and can see is what's tangible, is what is around us here on this earth. And many times we become sad because we don't see the results here on earth of what we're praying for. And we have to realize that this is not our final destination. God may not answer your prayers right away, but it doesn't mean that He's ignoring you. Waiting may be part of God's plan in order to maybe draw you closer to Him. God may not answer His prayers if they don't align with His will. And let's not forget, each one of us has a free will. God gives us a free will on what we can do, what we want to do. We can choose to continue our own way, the way we live, the way we like it, or we can repent and be restored and turn to God's way. And so when we don't see a lot of things happen, this can bring sadness to His children, especially those who pray fervently, especially if you're an intercessory prayer person. You pray for other people constantly. And standing, intercessory prayer means standing in the gap, standing in before God to pray for them when they may not know how or may not be able to for some reason. But even then, as an intercessory prayer person, those prayers are still being stored up in heaven. Because the purpose of prayer, believe it or not, is not to get God to do our will. The purpose of prayer is to know God in order for us so that we can do His will. Because God is an intimate and a relational God. We serve Him. He's not here to serve us. In other words, contrary to popular belief, God is not our spiritual Santa Claus. Meaning that if we're good all year and we do the right things and we go to church, we read our Bible, we pray to God, and then God in heaven with His long white flowing beard and Santa suit says, yes, you have been a good boy or a good girl. Therefore, you get everything that you want for Christmas. That's not God. That's not how He does it. Oh, by the way, and if you're bad, or if you cuss, or if you even think about cussing, because God knows what we're thinking all the time. God hears it because He does know what we're thinking. Or maybe you flip someone the bird in traffic. You get mad one day, it's just frustrating, and somebody just does some idiotic move, and you just lose control and flip them the bird. Or even worse, you flip them the bird after you leave the church parking lot. That's even really bad. And God says, oh, I can't bless that at all. That's not God either. God's not our drive-through God where we just pull up to God in a box and say, I have a need, and you press the button and you place your order to God, and then an angel comes out and brings your order and says, my pleasure, here's what you asked for. That's not how it is either. We need to get in our spirit that God is not a button to be pushed, but rather our relationship to be pursued. Because He's a relational God. He created you and you and you and you and me. He created us to love us and to be loved by us. He's a relational God because the prayers that we pray, the Bible said in Psalms 56, I mentioned this last Sunday, Psalms 56, every tear is bottled that we pray, that we shed. Every tear that you and I have ever shed, God keeps up with that liquid. And I don't know, He may choose to turn it into snow. I don't know what He does with it. But just know that at some point, at some time, at some moment, the season is going to change. Just like it's going to change this evening. There'll be a powerful cold front that'll finally shake that grip on that summer that just seems to never let go. I don't know. I think most of us could agree in here we're tired of the hot weather. But Father, I just thank You for the season changes. Thank You, Father, for the change in season. Just about the time we're ready to give in, and from this summer heat, suddenly today, the first day of fall arrives. And when the season of change arrives, you forget those countless times that you've prayed, and instead you begin to enjoy the cool crispness of the air. But just know that you've stored up some things throughout those many times that you prayed for situations or people or events. And the season will come when maybe someone may be getting married, like our Nikki and Josh, in just 7 more days here at our church. And then over there, maybe someone will get a breakthrough. And then over here, maybe someone will get a healing. Or maybe someone suddenly gets a new job that they've been praying for. Or that family member that you prayed for will finally get this revelation from God for a renewal in their life. It's hard for us to understand that God cannot forget like we do many times. He does not forget the treasury of snow. It's little by little, and it's in such detail, but He is in the details. And so the question I ask is, have you entered into it, the treasury of snow? Because it's powerful, and the flow is coming. For once the snow is gathered, even nature itself teaches us that the rivers begin to flow. Rivers of deliverance, rivers of healing, rivers of favor, rivers of opportunities, rivers of restoration, rivers of financial recovery. Pastor Adam and I, we claim rivers of deliverance over our church before each message that either he or I preach on the Sundays, that they would receive it through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that people would find God as they enter through those doors when they come in from their work week or a week out in the world, that they would enter through those doors in worship, be able to worship God and praise Him in fellowship and through the Word and in prayer. What I'm telling you is that there's a river of healing. There's a river of deliverance in the river that God has for both you and me, if we'll just pray. A river of family salvation and miracles that we've been storing up, the snow, so the flow will find your house and your home. Store it up in the spirit realm, the snow peaks over your family, the snow peaks of prayer. Every time that you worship, every time that you praise God, every time that you open the Bible and read it, you're storing up snow. Keep on doing it. Store it up. We can't give up, church. We can't become weary and tired of doing it, doing the right things just because the world is opposite. Paul put it like this: pray without ceasing. Just keep praying. You don't have to be around a lot of people. Just every time maybe that you think about them and start to worry about them, or maybe you become concerned about them, just pray. Maybe pray something like this: Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just call out their name right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And in doing so, that prayer will collect with another prayer that perhaps someone else has been praying for. I mean, check out what happened in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, if you don't believe me. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it reads, now there, and you can see it on the screen if you haven't turned in your Bibles there. It reads, now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian cohort. A devout man, and one who feared God with all of his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people. And he prayed to God continually. Verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms, your offerings, your tithes, have extended as what? A memorial. One more time. What? A memorial. Have ascended as a memorial before God. Cornelius, the Bible said, made a memorial, a monument before the throne of God. He created, and I'm going to use my own terminology, Cornelius created basically an ice palace from all the snow with his prayers and with his giving, because building these memorials or monuments of prayer catches the attention of God. And you and I, as a believer, we can build these memorials. A memorial is a statue, a structure, or a statement of fact established to remind people of a person or an event. So a memorial that touches heaven is therefore a statue, a structure, or a statement of fact established to remind heaven of you and what you're praying for. And that passage in the scripture of Acts we just read, from what we read about Cornelius and building a monument of prayer or a memorial of prayer, we can find three things that catch the attention of God. Number one is the prayer and giving of alms or offerings. Number two is the contrite heart or a broken spirit. And number three is the labor of love and ministry to the saints. There's three things that catch the eye of God here in heaven. Those three things that rise as memorials or monuments to God. The Word of God even verifies it. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, it reads, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That gets God's attention. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it reminds us, for God is not so unjust so as to forget your work and your love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. That catches God's eye. I believe it's the little things that you and I do for others that will pay off soon, because heaven will notice it and visit you and I for miracles. Cornelius's prayers, along with his giving, came up before God as a monument or a memorial before God of prayer. And so I just want you to think about for a moment Because when I think about monuments and memorials, I think about things like the Jefferson Memorial or the Lincoln Memorial, things of that type of magnitude. Cornelius has stacked up so much that this snow peak in the amount of money he was giving to help with the folks and in all of the worship, because all of it was basically worship, confessing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, all of that turns into snow. And he says that the more that you stack up and store it, the Bible said that it became so big in heaven that it was like a huge monument, the Bible says, or a memorial before God. And it was like God is saying, well, you know, I got to get rid of some of this ice up here. So it's time for a change of a season of snow. And think about what I'm saying to you this morning. And that one man in his prayers and in his giving prayed. And he stored up so much snow in the treasury of snow that it had his family name on that memorial. Because this blessing, when it flowed, it didn't go to the church. It went to his physical address and to him and his family. And if you read the rest of Acts chapter 10, no Gentile, only Jews, had heard the gospel and was able to receive Christ and then filled with the Holy Spirit. But one man prayed, and God began to melt the snow, and it started flowing to this one guy's house, for his prayers had become like a memorial. And the Bible said that through Peter sharing the gospel, God was able to pour out his Holy Spirit on the Gentiles. And this was the beginning of the Gentile miracle, that to this very day, this very service, this very moment is still active today with the Holy Spirit. Had Cornelius not filled up the treasury of snow and God found a way to let it flow, then perhaps maybe we wouldn't even be part of the body of Christ. Because we're all Gentiles, I think for the most part in here. We're all Gentiles who were lost without God. But here we stand today as children of the covenant because one man chose to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray when nothing happens. Praise when nothing happens. Praise whenever you don't feel like it. The Bible calls that sacrifice of praise in Hebrews. And if there's snow, then it's just a matter of time when the season changes and the rivers begin to flow. Because you're storing up snow that when the season changes, there'll be, and there will be some change in the season. I trust me, just even here with nature, with fall, today being the first day of fall, you wait a few weeks and you'll see a big change in the season. But meanwhile, it may look like your family tree is all withered up. It may look like your finances are just kind of withering. May feel that your dreams are just kind of falling to the wayside because they've withered up. May feel that there's no way this thing can live. There's no way God can turn my life around. There's no way God can turn this situation around. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. And that's what happens when a church prays. And your snowflake joins my snowflake, and other snowflakes begin to join. And then we have this big mountain, this big peak in heaven called prayer of faith. And we're saying, Lord, just pour it out on us. Pour it on us in the deliverance of healing, in the rivers of healing, that it flows through our homes and through our cities and through our nation, even to our world, Father. I'll finish up in Psalms 147, verses 15 through 18. Listen to this. This is amazing. He sends His commandment to earth, and here's what it's like. He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. It's like it's running very swiftly, His word. And then there will come a moment when He changes the season and He gives the snow. Next verse in verse 16 says, He gives snow like wool, scatters the frost like ashes. Verse 17. He casts forth his ice fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He asks that powerful question. The only question is, who can stand before the cold? Because the flow is coming. And then finally in verse 18, he says, he sends forth his word and melts them. He causes his winds to blow and his waters to flow. He melts it. He sends forth his word, he melts it, and he causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. But the only question that this passage is asking is, who can stand before the cold? Who can stand before the cold? Who will not give up when it's cold? Who will not quit when the wintertime comes? Who will not quit when you don't see anything happening at all when you're praying, or don't feel anything at all when you come to church? Well, the rain's coming. I promise you. It may even be raining now. I don't know if that's rain on the roof or what. But God's melting the snow from the peaks. All of those snowflakes you've sent up have become connected and has turned into a glacier. And God's going to melt it in His season and in His time. The only question is, who will stand in the cold? Who keeps sending it up when nothing seems to be happening? Are you willing to be able to stand in the cold, to come, stick, and stay? When it's dry and when it's cold and when it's gray. It may get cold, but the atmosphere for prayer is cold many times. But if you want some snowflakes, you need some cold, right? And that's the time to really pray, when it's tough. And when it's hard, and when you don't see a lot of miracles everywhere necessarily. Not when the river's flowing, but when you don't see anything, you keep on praising. That's when you can really get into praise. You keep sending it up and sending it up and sending it up, because you never know if you never know when you're sending up that last snowflake, when the mountains of snow start to flow. Sometimes you hear people running when they say the word avalanche. And when you hear it, you look at first thing you do and look up and you run. Because you know what follows. Cascading mounds of snow comes roaring down. And I believe many times we need an avalanche. And you never know. One more prayer. One more hallelujah. Just one more. Can anybody here today just give one more prayer? One more snowflake to just believe, Lord, for your child, for your family, for your healing, for your mindset, for your life, in the name of Jesus. Because one snowflake can begin building your monument as a memorial to God. And your prayers and my prayers begin to store up in heaven for the right season to begin to flow into our lives. Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts today and how we may be struggling to endure one moment of something that we may be going through. And sometimes it feels hard for us to believe that you have good things that are in store for us. But we trust that you are working things out for our good. Strengthen us today, O Father. Grow and mature us so that we lack nothing in our faith, but help us to persevere in our prayers. Surround us in your love and peace when suffering and the waiting and the lack of control is just hard to endure sometimes. Jesus, you promised us in your word that you've overcome the world, including all the struggles that we face. So, Father, we pray that our requests enter your treasury of snow, to not give up, but to keep adding the snow that you have stored for us. And let us not resist or reject your work any longer. Let those rivers flow, Father. We praise you, even when it looks dry, even when things begin to look withered in our lives. Help us to understand and to be able to hold on to the season of change that you have in store for us. in our lives. Flood our hearts today with your peace as we lean in and let your work become a reality through faith in our lives and through our circumstances. Help us to be able to walk in your perfect will in all that we do and everything that we say. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen.